Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Even in this weather, there'll be people this morning in their bright yellow raincoats and hats putting up those red signs at the pedestrian crossings outside of schools and getting the lollipop signs ready to help get the kids safely to school, and doing the same again this afternoon to get them safely home.
Yeah, the iconic members of the local community, but what do we call them? Lollipop men, women, people, lollipop guild from...
Apparently it's crossing supervisor.
Crossing supervisor.
That's the official term for it. Because they've got to have a term these days. I would have gone with juvenile pedestrian safety control technician.
That sounds pretty cool.
Does sound a bit more fancy, but there's a bloke down in Melbourne, Vincent Moran. He has been the lollipop guy down in this particular suburb for 25 years. He's just marked 25 years in the job.
The 84-year-old is a dedicated supervisor. Stationed at Royal Parade on Hoddle Street, he greets each pedestrian, big or small, with a smile and a chat.
How good is that?
Oh, so he's been there long. They've built the school around him.
Pretty much, yeah. He would have seen a lot of changes over his 25 years. We're really lucky in Australia that we get people that do this for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because one of the kids that Vincent looks after, you know, he's from Germany. This is what he had to say.
I used to live in Germany where they didn't have anyone to help us across the crossing. So it's very nice to meet someone in the morning.
It's just every kid for himself over in Germany. They don't even get German shepherds to try and herd the kids over at the right time. It's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
But over here, obviously, we have, you know, the lollipop women and men.
Yeah, it's something you look out for. Like when you get someone near the school, you look left and right, you look near the road, you go, ah, there's the person. You walk wherever that person is at that crossing and, you know, they've got your back.
Yeah. When I was teaching for a while, our lollipop lady was on holidays, and so we teachers had to take over the duty. So you might have had to do the morning or the afternoon duty for a while. Okay. You wield a lot of power too with that sign. Yeah, I mean, you are stopping traffic and you control when the kids go across the road and that, and the power kind of goes to your head. Like, you know, you might see the lollipop man or woman out there just blow the whistle and put the sign up, you know, but in your mind, you're just like Gandalf going... That's how I felt. I'm like, hey, back off, man.
Was there a big ceremony with cloaks and things to get initiated to get to pass the lollipop over?
They just threw you the high-vis vest and the sign and said, you're on duty this afternoon. You're like, great, that's great. So Vincent obviously loves it. The main thing he loves is just engaging with the kids and having a good chat every now and then.
It's a good conversation place here, isn't it?
But the most popular...
A lot of gardening.
Yeah. He loves the chat about gardening. Vincent says, oh, yes, and the kids love it too. A lot of the older teenagers keep asking me about growing weeds. They have a fascination with it. I can't understand it.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
We do see some animated people that are store owners that try and do the best to try and get people through the door. When you go to Melbourne, you see people in Lygon Street standing out the front trying to spruik you and trying to offer you all these deals to try and get you inside.
Yeah.
South Australia, it looks like they've got their own version of that. This guy's involved in the fruit game, a grocer. John Kapiris, this guy has been on social media just a little bit. He has a very unique approach when it comes to trying to basically slag off the competition and get people to visit his fruit store. Mm. I'm talking about wielding a samurai sword to prove a point.
What are you saying, like our prices on our meals have been slashed or things? Is this what he's...
Slashing the competition and things like that. But
has he just introduced Japanese to the menu? Like he's got sushi and...
I think this time, though, he's gone a little bit too far, though.
John Kapiris's videos declaring war on Audi have been a hit before, and it's not the first time he's used a sword as a prop.
Watermelon, 69 cents. Chop.
But not in a place as public as this. John Kapiris was paid a visit by police only a few hours later at his home, who formally cautioned him for carrying an offensive weapon.
Yeah, unfortunately, his latest stunt, he was outside Aldi and he was chopping bananas with his samurai sword outside of Aldi.
Okay.
After all that's gone on in the world the last few years with everything, seeing someone with a whole bunch of bananas and a samurai sword outside a very public place chopping them, it's very intimidating.
I would think so, yeah. It's like your very own fruit ninja down there. Like,
Plus, it is South Australia, you know, like finding things in pieces around a local town. It's probably a bit too soon to be, you know, bringing that sort of stuff up as well. But, he's, you know, he's trying to do his best to be a point of difference when it comes to the other supermarkets. Obviously, really going after Aldi aggressively, you know, saying that his stuff's better. But obviously, he could be in a bit of trouble. It looks like it's just a caution at this stage, though. So no charges have been laid. But this is what he had to say about his latest stunt.
Didn't mean no harm. There's no harm. I didn't threaten anyone. It's just social media. People understand that. But you've got some Karens that dislike it.
So if you don't if you don't like being threatened with a samurai sword, apparently you're a Karen.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, sure. I don't know why he thought this was a good idea.
How would you go if you were just, you know, with your basket, you're about to get your QR code out and check into Aldi's or somewhere, and all of a sudden there's a guy out there with a sword? Would you think, oh, what, Ninja Turtles reboot or something?
I'd probably buy some extra fruit that week.
Maybe.
I don't know what would happen if I didn't.
Might sway your decision. As it turns out, though, he is quite lucky. He got off with a caution, but the fines could have been pretty bad if he did get charged in the future.
The maximum penalty for carrying an offensive weapon in SA is a $2,500 fine or 6 months prison. But Kapira says he's learnt his lesson.
$2,500 fine. That's like the price of about three avocados.
Exactly right. Yeah. Reckons he's learnt his lesson, but he's still in the same breath with saying, you know, he loves what he does and he enjoys doing it. He's going to do it at his own shop from now on instead of actually walking and wandering on the streets with a sword.
Right, okay.
Might be a good idea, but still a bad idea to be carrying a sword in the first place, you know. I'm just, he's gone after all of the supermarkets. Like, he's gone after Aldi, you know, their slogan is like, you know, good, different. You've got Woolworths that claim to be the fresh food people.
Yeah.
He's probably going to try and claim that fresh food people, you know, title, because they're always saying Woolworths, you can't get fresher than that. But I can honestly say you can't get much fresher than, you know, a place where the biggest fruits are outside the store, not in the store.
Wake up with PowerFM's Brad and Hutsy.
One of those professions where you go to university, you study for the same amount of time as people like accountants and other, you know, professions. They get paid way more than you do as a teacher, and yet your role is seen to be so important by society. So you can understand why New South Wales public school teachers went on strike yesterday.
Yeah, but there's always the argument, Brad. They get like 12 weeks holiday a year and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they spend a lot of it planning.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem. So teachers were demanding a 5 to 7% pay increase and some extra planning hours each week, and they took to the streets yesterday to make their voices heard.
Really difficult to find teachers to replace us, so I even at times won't take days off.
It's been really tough. The workload's really hard.
We're losing too many good teachers early because they're not sticking around under these conditions.
Yeah, why would you? Like, for this amount of pay and this amount of work, I'll go do something else.
Is the juice worth the squeeze? You've got to ask yourself.
That's right. So, yeah, they were marching in there in red yesterday. First industrial strike action by teachers in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
So I imagine they would have been a little rusty. I'm kind of wondering if they hit up the kids for some tips on doing the war cries. Because you taught your war cries for your sports carnivals. They're like, the kids are like, all right, now repeat after me. 2, 4, 6, 8, what do we appreciate? Better pay and work conditions, looking for a 5 to 7% pay increase and extra planning. No, that doesn't work.
Needs
to tweak that a little bit. They had signs as well, which, you know, I would be running my, whatever my message was on my sign, I'd be running it through the spell checker 3 times.
T-shirts as well, they're all wearing T-shirts.
Yeah, because you don't want other teachers pulling out their red pen and correcting your
sign
midway through the 5 out of 10. Come on, I worked really hard on that. Of course, they're demanding extra pay from the New South Wales government, and the State Education Minister, Sarah Mitchell, yesterday, of course, was labelling the strike action as disruptive.
In a single day, the union has caused more disruption to our public education system than we've seen due to COVID throughout the entirety of this term.
Exaggerate much?
Wow.
1 day of strike action? Are you serious?
I can see your nose moving like Pinocchio. It's growing.
Healthy Harold causes more disruption in schools, getting kids out of the classroom than this did yesterday. And, you know, one of the kids was there during one of the teacher protests, and he was like, it's no big deal.
In the end, like, it isn't going to affect us too much. It's 1 day, and most of the kids are able to stay at home.
Yeah. Play a bit of Call of Duty?
Yeah, why not?
You're laughing. So we'll have to wait and see whether or not our Premier, Dominic Perrottet, gives the teachers what they want. But I'm like, if you're planning any future industrial action, you know, we had like 400 public schools across the state shut down, like 800,000 plus kids, you know, couldn't go to school or whatever. Maybe just the teachers that teach Sarah Mitchell and Dominic Perrottet's kids. You go on strike. And keep going on strike.
Nice.
And once they're tearing their hair out going, please come back, then they'll give in to your demands.
We call that a ransom.
Yeah.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.